We all know the reason why we put our tefillin on the right hand is because the right hand is weak. Is on the left hand, I'm a lefty. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Okay. It's because we're supposed to put on the weaker hand. So we see that when it comes to the hands, there's a left hand, there's a right hand, there's a stronger hand, and there's a weaker hand. Is there such a thing in halacha that an ear or an eye, one eye or one ear, is naturally stronger than the other? I don't know. Are there any doctors in this thing? What?
Yeah, you're right. I had a left eye. I have a proof from Nevi'im.
Yeah.
Shmuel Hanavi, when Amon came to Klal Yisrael, the city, and they wanted to take out, they said, "Take out your right eye." And Mamash said, "We're going to poke out the right eye." And, that's what Shmuel intervened. That he was his first great Muhammad. So there, the Torah specifically says the right eye.
The right eye.
Pierce in the bottom says, why the right eye? Because the right eye, you can see things, it's stronger than the two arms.
Really? Interesting.
It's in the puzzle.
Everyone has a different...
And what about the ears? Are there a difference? Is one ear stronger?
It's not equal.
It's not equal.
Not necessarily. And then close one eye and close the other eye. And you see, the dominant eye doesn't move, and the non-eye, it'll jump.
Aha, interesting. Okay. So he points out over here, we have halacha here, Tezvav, on the pages, Tezvav Amid Aleph, Dina Shal Iter Oizen Iter Leif. A person who is a lefty on the ear, a person who's a lefty on the heart. Now that means that the heart is on the left side. Now, the normal, regular person, the heart is on the left, is on the left side.
It's
what? No, but it's no. So he says over here: is there such a thing that there are people miut shebemiut who are born with their heart on the right side?
That is correct.
Wrong side.
Oh, he's correct.
I believe it was indeed. Yes, you're right. What you're saying?
What are the statistics? Very small.
Zero. You got to have heart. That's a heartless story.
No,
okay. So it's a very fascinating thing. According to Chazal, there's a medrash that is going to quote this now. Why don't we put the tool on the left side? It should be near your heart. The tefillin should be, we have a drasha, the tefillin should be near the heart. So we put the tefillin on the left hand, because the tefillin on the left hand is the weaker hand, and it also happens to be the average person near the heart. But what happens if a person is born with the heart on the right side? He's the miyut shebemiyut when the heart is on the right side. So can you argue that you should put the tefillin on the other side, the other hand? So let's see what it says. Mesugim avur sharitzir, we have Allah when it comes to the nirtza. The nirtza, he works for 6 years. The eved, every works for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, he says to his master, So the halach is, the master takes him to the door, to the bezdin, and he takes an awl, and he bores a hole in his ear. Which ear? The right ear.
Yes.
The right ear. The Gemara has a drash, the Gemara makes a gzeir shovel, oizen from Mitzorah. By Mitzorah, they put the blood, the oil, on boyin yodeh hayamonis, oizen and the lobe, the right ear lobe. So we make gzereshav to the mitzvah, just like David has to be on the right ear, so to the eved ivri, the nirtza has to be bored on the right side. Besugim of wusher etziyahi beoizen yimonis velamdu kain begzereshava nemer kan oizen v'nemer lahalon oizen malahalon yimin av kan yimin b'meiri kosav she'af retziyas to itor. So beoizen yimin. What happens if we have, this is a very important insight for all rules of righties and lefties. What happens if we have an Eved Ivri who is a lefty, do we also bore a hole on his right ear? Maybe that he is lefty, everything for him is there, everything changes. So he says, no, doesn't make a difference. Just because he is a lefty, it doesn't make a difference. Even though he puts a tefillin in the Eved Ivri, maybe wearing his tefillin on the other arm. If an Eved Ivri wears tefillin, that's another shout to itself. But the point is, it does not make a difference. What? He's chayav in mitzvos ki'isha. And Isha does not wear tefillin.
That's a good.
Oh.
You're right.
I made a mistake. Never did. He's a full fledged Jew. You're right. I'm sorry. What am I thinking? So of course he wears tefillin. So even though he's wearing tefillin on his other arm, when it comes to the ritzia and the oizen, it does not make a difference. This is what it says in the Miri. So look.
They can't hear well.
Oh, so like he's coming to really open up the whole issue. He's coming to make this point right now. Look what he says.
They can't hear well.
Oh, that's an exception. If a person, that doesn't make a difference. So let's deal with a healthy person. A healthy person that can hear regularly with both ears. Let's see what he says. The vir hadavar kosav hasmag. So the smag writes the following thing. Now, even though you may tell me that scientifically it's not necessarily true, it's not noticeable. There's always a difference in halacha between something which is nikar and something which is not nikar. Generally speaking, a person does not detect one ear. A healthy person does not detect the difference between one ear and the other ear. V'hainu, she'ein loymar, don't say she'hatzorech v'ritziya be'oizen yamin, eina mishum she'oizen hayamon is hi oizen hachazaka. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me the reason why the Torah demands that he should get bored on the right ear is because the right ear is stronger, has a more sensitive koyach of shmiya. And that's why the Torah wants it to be. Then we know the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Why the ear they heard on Har Sinai, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, v'holach zev hakane, v'holach zev hakane odul yatzmo yirotza." So the ear is the ear that heard Hashem say, "Nochi Hashem lokecha." From the person's two ears, which ear heard better on Har Sinai? Hashem say, "Nochi Hashem lokecha, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim." Maybe one will argue that the right ear, a regular person who's a righty, maybe his right ear had a greater sensitivity to hearing these words. That's not so. It's not so. Both ears are equal, and therefore there really is no difference between one and the next. And the Torah says ear has to be the right. Melo, you can't go tell me there should be naftamina why you should do it on the left side. From this we learn a very powerful insight, is that when does a lefty change from the right to the left or vice versa? That's only in regard to something that depends upon your koyach. When you have two of something and one is stronger than the next, so then there is a svara to say that since you're an ityat, it's you are reversed, you should use the other hand. But an organ in which there really is no greater significance in the right or the left, they both are function equally as far as we, the average person, detects. You don't think about it, whether it's going to be the eyes, whether it's going to be the ear. And the Torah now makes a demand of you to do a mitzvah with a certain organ, a certain right or the left. There's no svara to say that just because you are a left, you should change to the other side. That is his yisoid. So be it because of a smag, she'en koyach ba'izn ye'echad yos mechadeirai, v'hayinu she'en lo'im ha'shat tzorchum b'ritzi o'ezn yemin, e'en m'shum sh'ezn ha'yimon es hi'ezn b'chazaka. Who thinks that, according to this bitter, a lefty, ha'ezn ha'smal es hi'achazaka. Don't go tell me that when it comes to a lefty, he has a stronger left ear, v'yesh lo'r tzoya b'smal. Shaharei, sh'nei ho'aznayim koycham shove. Both ears are the same. Therefore, the yesh ler tzaya ba'ezin yamin migzeres akasev u'meila in svar lechalik ben adam ragel leitur. That makes no difference. Mitam ze bir b'meiri shulchein. Therefore, einu doymel lo hanochas tefillin. B'hanochas tefillin it says yotcho with a hay, which means the weaker of the two hands. Sheiter manichin b'yamin kol adam lufi shasham hadavet holi b'koyach. Mash enkin b'chalitza. Not so when it comes to chalitza. Chalitza, now he's referring to another halacha when it comes to removing the shoe. When you remove the shoe, when you remove the shoe from the yavam, so the isha has to remove the shoe with her right hand, and she has to take off the shoe from the yavam, his right shoe. Because when it comes to legs, when it comes to feet, one foot, is that really true? One foot is stronger than the other foot?
Yeah.
A lefty, a righty, is the right foot is stronger.
Sure.
A person naturally puts his right foot forward,
right.
And a lefty naturally puts your best foot forward. You kick. Yeah, that's true. Soccer players.
Kickers, they're lefty kickers and righty.
Oh, and that's normally if you're a lefty, you're automatically naturally inclined to be a lefty kicker.
Most cases.
You know, interesting. Okay.
You go to a shoe store. A lot of people, if you're lefty or righty, your good foot is going to be a little bit larger than your bad foot.
Yeah.
Besides,
yeah.
That's very
interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll enter.
By the way, I think it's the mitzvah. I'm assuming it is. I know what I learned was that the reason that the right hand or the left hand you use, you put on the fill on the other hand, because if you're a lefty, you do more things with your left hand, obviously, or if you're right, you do more with your right hand. Therefore, more things that are coming are done with your good hand, and your bad hand is a little more tahor, and that's why you're dependent on that hand.
You do have errors with your good hand.
Yeah. No, exactly.
That's a chiddush. That's a very, you don't want to use.
I mean, I learned
that's
that.
A very chiddush to say such a thing.
One of the reasons, okay. It has a little more tahor.
Because we don't focus on the averis. Okay, here. Okay, Afin. Echad hanidainim. Another issue that he discusses.
You're using it not necessarily for averis, but you're going to be touching the vertuma more with your right hand if you're right.
Okay, it's a mitzvah. Echad hanidainim shehelu hapoiskim hu al itur leiv. Interesting shaila. Never heard this before until I saw this. Is that there are a minority, a small percentage of human beings who are born with their heart on the right side. So the question is, Kolama Adam.
Please have a heart.
Kolaymar Adam Shaliboy Bitsad Yimin Beeze Yad Yaniach Tfilin. What is the issue? Sharish Asafikul Shemitzad Echad Yadai Smolis Hi Ayar Hakeya. Generally, on the left side, near your left hand, is where Shemitzad Echad Yadai Smolis Hi Ayar. That's the weaker side. V'yesat Tfilin Tzochla Niachal Yadai Keya. Ach Mitzad Sheni Nemar. It says Al Levavicha. There are two contradictory psukim. Not contradictory. They normally complement one another. On the one, it says Al Yadcha. Yotcha is your weaker hand, that's the left hand. But it also says Al Levavecha. Levavecha. Al Levavecha. Which means near your heart. Which means also the left. So normally the two will go together. Uksheyaniach biyad smol ein hatfilin kenegalibo. If we have a person who has a heart on the right side, you put your tefillin on your left hand, it's not going to be opposite your heart. So what is the halacha in this case? So b'shut eretz svidon b'zeh. The Kosaf, and he writes, "Shafilu im nitzparer." It's clear. La adam sheyesh loy leiv b'tzad yimin. All of loniach as a tefillin b'smalo. It doesn't make a difference. The yachichi midivrei hagavar b'menachas shenir shloy amru es ho'inyan shel kneged haleiv el arak lelamdenu hechon mekoyim atfillin b'yad. When the Gemara makes an issue of putting your tefillin al levavecha, that was only to teach you where on the arm should the tefillin be put. Should it be put above the bicep? Should it be put, maybe you should put the tefillin on your palm? Maybe you should put it where you put your watch? Who says you should put your tefillin on your biceps? So the Gemara has a drasha, al levavecha, kineged halev. That tells you that when the Torah says yotcha is a very large area, starting from the shoulder, going all the way down to your fingers, from the word levavecha, we learn it should be on the bicep. Don't take that pasuk to the degree further and say that it literally has to be on the side of the body where your heart is found. That would be problematic in a situation where a person has a heart on the right side. So one more time, b'shut eretz atzvidon b'zev v'kosh rafilu mispar l'adam sheyesh lo'y lebit tzad yimin olav l'anich l'tfilin b'smayloi v'yachiyach kein midivrei hagmar v'nachah shenir shlo yomu tzayin yin shol kein elev el rak l'lam nenah hechom agamat tfilin b'yad ach lo'y amu zaz l'lumad mikach al eze yiyad yimich na tfilin u'memela gam mi sheliba b'tzad yimin olav l'anich asat tfilin b'yad smol v'makam shu k'neged halev shol kol odam the general place where the ladies are like most people v'ayin shem od masha kosa b'zeh k'yayitza b'zeh pasuk m'shut mishne halachis u'biya she'agam she'amar she'tfilin yishol yad neged halev mikol mokoyim hadrash shol yodcho yodke ikor. There are two drashas. Which drasha is the ikor yodcho with a hay, your weaker hand, that is the ikor drasha. And this idea that he throws out over here opens up a very important issue in many halachas where the question is, should you use the right hand, the left hand, and what should a lefty do? Let's say, for example, Kiddush. There are different customs. Kiddush Friday night. So the lechatchila, you're supposed to raise the cup of wine with your, hold the cup of wine with your right hand. What is a lefty to do? Person's a lefty, he makes Kiddush Friday night. Should he use his right hand? Should he use his left hand?
I use my left.
You use your left. Okay, so there are different customs. So one of the issues is do we go Basar Roiv Ha'olam, and the person should say, even though my stronger hand is my left hand, since the majority of the world use their right hand, so for this halacha, it doesn't say Yotcha, you should use your right hand. Another factor is exactly what he brings down over here, what he mentions over here. And the mitzvah that's not dependent on strength. It's not dependent on koyach. It's the same issues. Same that generally a lefty takes the lulav and eshrog, does the opposite. That's the general. That there are other poskim that disagree, but most people that I know are lefty. There's a whole sefer. It's a yad. So this, just one of this is one of the issues. When you're doing something with your right and your left hand, you have to analyze the mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah? See, when you take the mitzvah, for example, when you're taking the lulav, ulakachtem lachem bayoyim harishon pre-eitz hadar kapos tamarim, it's a mitzvah of lekicha. It's a mitzvah to take. With which hand does a person normally take? So you have two hands. One hand is stronger, one hand is weaker. So the Indian is to take it with your stronger hand. Because you use your right hand. Well, if you're a lefty, so you're going to use your left hand, because since the Torah makes an issue in telling you that the mitzvah shall be done through a maisa lekicha, and the maisa lekicha is done with your stronger hand, so since you have two hands, you should use whatever your stronger hand. But when you have a mitzvah, and the mitzvah does not involve a maisa lekicha, the Torah does not emphasize strength. It's not a question of strength, it's just a question of doing it. For example, holding the Kiddush cup, there is absolutely no issue in taking the Kiddush cup a maisa lekicha. There's no maisa lekicha in the Kiddush cup. B'di'evan, you can make Kiddush with the kais on the table. If you can't pick up the kais shel yai and you want to leave the kais on the table, you're too weak, you can make Kiddush, the kais on the table, you can make a bracha. This that we hold the Kiddush, this, yeah.
Someone said to hold the dafka on the palm because the person.
That's all Kabbalah. Yeah.
That's because your fingers should be.
These are all Kabbalistic things. You hold it on the palm and your fingers go up and someone should put. But let's talk about the Iker Halacha. When it comes to the mitzvah of Lul Vineshrog, or Lekachtem Lechem Bayom Harishon, do a Maisa Lekicha. When you do a Maisa Lekicha, Hashem gave you two hands. Which hand is stronger? The hand that's stronger. So the Torah is giving you instructions to use the stronger hand. When it comes to holding a for Kiddush, there's no halacha anywhere. You have to pick up the Dua Maisa Lekicha. It's a matter of practicality. You have to, Kois has to be Muchan Lefanov. You make the bracha Oiver La'asiyasan. So the derech klal, yamin is chashuv, small is less chashuv. So therefore, just like it says over here, when it comes to the inyan of a ritzia, by verotza adoinav es oznoi bamartzea, there are two ears, the left ear and there's a right ear. There's absolutely no difference in koyach hashmi between the right ear and the left ear. At Har Sinai, everyone heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, ki li b'nei yishol avodim, and that's why when you make the gzer shovel, oizen, oizen, tu, nirtza, you use the right hand no matter. You use the right ear no matter what, even if you're a lefty. So that lundis is equally applicable in the case of making Kiddush Friday night. Even if you are a lefty, pick up the kois with your right hand, because right derechal is more chashuv. Yeah.
Remember we were talking about kosum lekala on the hook.
Which finger you use?
Which hand do you use to give? And we said it's the right, because... And as far as there was, we went through the pointing fingers.
Okay, those are Kabbalistic in
Yonah. It came out.
Yeah.
That's the hand you do most of your things with.
Right.
So if you're a lefty and you do most of your things with your left hand, going back to the ring.
So the question of it is the din of the kicha. What's the din longest? Kicha, kicha, mistayef. We're learning the Zerushavi. Ish, ki yikach, isha. I don't know the yikach, it's not referring to doing a maisa kicha. Lachar by it's not. I mean, what is the min? The min of Yishol is a person who's a lefty. When he gives a tabas kedusha, which hand does he use? I don't know. Probably the left hand, right? Always the right.
Everybody.
Even a lefty. And the kala when she's makabel the kedushin.
Right.
Always the right, no matter what. So that fits very well with what it says over here, because it's not a maisa. It's not. It the kedushin is not a maisa of ulakachta, only by lulav. Maybe you'll find some other mitzvahs by lulav, and also I think by chalitza. There it's the stronger. It's a maisa v'cholatz ishnalav v'cholza and the leg. There the Torah is marked on what's the derech. But these things are not, they're not totally in strength. It's just a practical matter that the Tavas Kedushin has to be transferred from the man to the woman. Kiddush, the cup should be there, should be over Lasi Yasan. So these things, where there's no such halacha, then there is a longness, a svara to say, it's no different than the Nirtza, where there's no difference between the left ear and the right ear. They're both exactly the same. And when the default is, they're both the same, as far as we are concerned, we fall back on the default, which is the right is more chasha. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. The mitzvah sadaka b'michilas chayim. New topic. Can a person mekayem the mitzvah of giving tzedaka without doing a ma'aseh nesina? He lends a person money and the person doesn't pay back. So he says, you know what? I anyway have to give ma'aseh kesef, ma'aseh kesefim. So just keep the money. You're a poor person. You need the money. I'll make all the money. Has he fulfilled the mitzvah of giving tzedaka? When it comes to kiddushin, it's not a valid marriage. If a man gives a woman a pikadain, a man gives a woman a loan, and he says to listen, I give you something to hold on to. You know what? Just keep it, and that should serve as the kesef kiddushin. It's invalid. You must do a ma'aseh of giving the isha kiddushin in order to be married. Do we apply that same rule when it comes to tzedaka? But sugin lamdu me apostek she es ha ha noka ein noisim lebal choiv if a slave owes money, there's a mitzvah of hanukkah severance. When a slave goes free, you have to give him a gift. This was the laning of Aseret Haser on Achron Shal Pesach only a few days ago. The mitzvah of hanukkah. So if the Eved, he owes money to a Baal Chayv, can you give the money, the severance to the Baal Chayv? The answer is no. Hanek ta'anik lo, v'lo l'Baal Chayvay. The Gilyoni HaShas, Rebbe Kiva Eger, Kosef, sheyesh l'chalik bein hanukkah l'tzdaka. There's a difference. Shehanukkah when it comes to hanukkah, chutz shuchulah mitzos me'pasek. L'gab, l'tzdaka, nuk tu zos k'dav r'poshet. V'ru b'shor b'shuch b'bid b'shut maharam bar baruch l'maram l'ranberg. Shekosef. It doesn't make a difference. If it comes to the midst of tzedakah and the oni owes money to a creditor and you pay off his debt, have you fulfilled the midst of tzedakah? The answer is absolutely not. When it comes to Truman Meiser, if a coin owes money to someone and you give and you the person who owes money to is also a coin, so you give that person the truma on behalf of the coin. It's also, it's not valid. My solution as well as not.
Yeah,
as long as you give it to him, but you have to give the money. You have to give the money directly to him. You must first give the money directly to that person. Next, now uve tam hadavar beer. Hagoin of Yosef Engel kishen noisna lebal chayv nimsa shekibul haoni rak pitur choif v'hareze kilu kibul rak gamim v'loy guf ha-maiser. When you pay a person's loans, you're giving him, you're not giving him the actual maiser, you're just giving him something of value. U'lechein eina yoytzi dey choiva mibnei shetzorach lo says guf ha-maiser. When it comes to maiser, you have to give the actual maiser, the actual grain. V'yosha ani einim balim shel ha-maiser kol shelo yigil yado. Another chiddush is that until he gets the money, it's not really called his. So you're not, v'nim zah shelo kibul mu'me, he received nothing. Now he discussed the shayla we have it. The shayla we're discussing. The Rama writes, "Machlokes Rama on the Shach." The Rama writes that you can give money, you can be moichel a loan to an oni, and that will be considered to be tzedakah. The chosaf hashach b'shem kam rishayim shetzach l'skos b'chem l'ubram l'oni al yidei acher. The acher kach yifram imenu choyv kedil chayim mitzvah. It's not the machlokes. He says the same exactly. If you really want to do this, when you have the acher kach yifram imenu choyv kedil chayim mitzvah noson titein. If you want to go pay for his chayvos, so before you go and pay off the chayv, you should first go to another person and say, I want you to pick up this money on behalf of so-and-so. So it should be as if the ani has actually received the money. And then after he receives the money through this third party, then you give that money to the Baal Chayv. So at least for a moment, the money in halach has been considered to be in his actual rishus. And that way you're kind of the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. But to give the money directly to the third party, that is not a full fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah.
The only question. Then if I give it to a third party, what do I do if we give to charitable organizations?
Yeah.
Are they called a third party until it reaches the other side?
So you're saying very good. You're saying very good. You're saying that how b'chlal are we ever mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah? Because you're a gabbai. For the gabbai tzedakah, when you give the gabbai, so the gabbai tzedakah is considered to be the yad, the hand of the oni himself. So you're saying the gabbai tzedakah is considered to be an extension of the oni himself. Here it's a little bit different. Here it's a choif. Here, when you hear the oni, he owes money. So you're giving money to his creditors. So that's already a different category. When you're giving money to an organization, the organization is the extension of the oni themselves. So it's a little bit different.
No, it's funny.
Maybe it's an extension of the giver.
No, the Gemara says beferish yad kiyad anim dami.
Something in the Sefer Shkolah which I'm learning, and I realize that there is an organization, I think, where Reuven Feinstein sponsors it. Where you give to they're collecting for a particular girl in Eretz Yisrael. She's not well, and it's called Eretz Yisrael, and they have on the bottom of the letter that they have the right to redirect money to another need if they feel so. In other words, you think you're giving to through this organization to this young lady, and it turns out there's a footnote in the bottom. The Gemara Shkolah says you can do that. So I said to my wife, there's no guarantee that where you think it's going
to
end up.
There's no guarantee. Even if you give it to the person, there's no guarantee. There are no guarantees in life altogether. Uh-huh. Like I told you this interesting shala. I remember the shala many, many years ago. People have estates. You find pushkas. You find pushkas from 20 different organizations. And in one pushka there's 25 cents, and in one pushka there's $13.02, and another pushka there's $3. And it's a royal pain to go count all the money in every single pushka and figure out exactly how much money, and to write a check to every single one of these organizations. Can you just take all the money, pull it together, have one amount, and just write out one check to one organization? So I heard this many years ago. I don't remember who I heard it, but I remember hearing from reliable sources that you're allowed to do it. And b'diavad, even though every pushka has a different address, if it gets out of hand and there are so many pushkas and there's small amounts of money, it's self understood that you can just moichel. They're moichel. Your kavana originally when you put the money in the pushka was not that it should go specifically to one organization, even though you're using their pushka. We had the whole shayla. If you have a pushka, is that called their chotzer and you're a rishos? All the way we discussed this. But the yevin, you can just take all the money and give it to one organization. So that's what?
Is that remoy trickery? I think I'm giving to Ezra's Torah.
Right? Yeah.
To this one. And suddenly you're telling me, Rabbi, that, oh no, it may not work out that way.
Small amounts of money. Large amounts of money, maybe there is. You know, a lot of these organizations, a lot of overlap. A lot of these organizations, they some people, I know for a fact, some people, they get a check from all these organizations. This organization, Ezra's Torah gives them a check, and Yosef Chai gives them a check, and Yad Eliezer gives them a check. So you go give it to one organization, they're, the people that they support are all very similar.
Two
yeshivas. Okay, so you also do. Okay, let's go further. Okay, top line. Ach hik shaleim because of shalosh nara moshe katan b'stam sheyochel lahafrish alav loy b'loy bir shetzach liskos haydei acher. The Ramah does not make any distinction. The Ramah says that you can go and you can give money for these people. You do not need. You not to be muzakeh. Mashma she'ain tzach liskos haydei acher mishum shesoyve she'asu es she'ain ezoche zoyche v'rishonim loy soyim kein ayin sham. Okay, the oyd ayin b'pischit shuv b'shem. We just can't do this. If you want to go give tzedakah to a poor person, you tell me, no, instead of giving money to you, you owe money, I'll pay off your mortgage. I'll pay off your grocery bill. We just should not do this without telling the ani. Okay, he doesn't tell us all the details, but it seems like this is a very big machlekes. Can you technically be mekayim the mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisa Ksafim, when you're not giving the money directly to the poor person, but instead you're paying off his debts. It borders upon something that we learned in the Gemara when it comes to Kiddushin. By Kiddushin, everyone agrees there must be a Maisa Kiddushin. And also when it comes to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not common among us today because we don't have Avodim. But Avodim, there is Hanukkah, there is severance. It's not so necessarily so
you can't go into a grocery store and borrow books.
You can do it. It might be a very big chesed.
The guy that you fear is the poorest. I don't know your customers.
I'm paying off his debt. So believe it or not, it's a machlokes apoiskin. That's what he says here. It's a machlokes. It's a good thing. There's no question about it. And in Shemaim, you're going to get credit. Have you technically fulfilled your duty of Maaser Kesafim? That is a dilemma. That is a question. Not necessarily. Have you done a chesed? There's no doubt about it. You've done a chesed.
Okay. According to the Shah, you just said, you need a third party to be mezakeh, so you're mezakeh.
So you should do it. You should be
to the store.
Right, that's the Eitzah.
And then be mezakeh for that guy.
Person, and now it goes. But also he says you have to tell him. Moshe says it's not so poshut.
I don't want to embarrass that person.
Okay, so it's not so simple. Einochanami. It's not so simple. Just like Kiddushin and Hanok, it's not valid. So too, when it comes to this thing also, it's not necessarily a technical fulfillment of the mitzvah of Maaser Kesav. That's what it says. It's not. The eighth is to mezake, that when you give to the storekeeper, you say, I'm not giving it for a schoif, I'm giving it to you, shall be koine on his behalf. Zochin la'odom shaloi befanav. And after he now has acquired it, now take it for your choif. Now take it to pay off the debt. But Rav Moshe says there's a problem and the person should know about it, because the person should still know about it. I don't know, he doesn't present you all the technical details. Alright, it's an issue, that's an interesting idea to be aware of. Next halach, next sugya. Kenia b'check. Okay, what does tzadikov stand for?
Check.
Someone wrote a whole two volumes, a check the halacha. You see, it came out like 2 years ago. A check by halacha, two thick volumes. Checks, all the laws of checks. The Machane Ephraim calls the b'shem sefer hamegach. Misha kana mechaver shum chifetz. Let's see what it says. The Machane Ephraim kibash on the chuba. The chassan says to the kala, "Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the wing at home. Do you accept American Express?" You say to the kala, or you give the kala, here's my MasterCard. She says, I only accept American Express.
If you give it the whole card.
What?
If you give it the whole card.
Who says the whole card works?
Left on?
You know the. Are you aware?
Is that the same as a check, though?
What? It's a different. I know. It's a whole different world. And also, you have to be aware that every country has its own rules and regulations. So, what may work, like a check, Rabbi Reisen writes about this in the Laws of Ribbis, that the way a check is processed in America is not the way it's processed in Eretz Yisrael, and there are nafkaminas lahalacha in the laws of ribis when dealing with business transactions using checks between an American check and a check that's drawing money from an Israeli bank. They have different sets of rules, and there are halachic nafkaminas. You know the joke of the satin rav? Someone has the satin rav. Who's on? It became a joke now with the $20 bill. They want to replace Andrew Jackson. So they asked the satin rav once, who's on the $5 bill? So he says, I don't know. I don't deal with anything less than a 20.
There's going to be a problem now.
Not if Trump gets in. Trump said he's not taking off Andrew Jackson. He says we'll put her on a $2 bill.
That's Jefferson.
Next, Kenia b'check. The Machane Ephraim kasa b'shem sefer hamekach. Mi shekane mechaver shum chemis v'lo hoi lo nikach tam. He doesn't have money because lo shtar choif. Umasu biyad hamoicha. A person writes a shtar. You're not up to a check yet. One thing at a time. He writes him an IOU. A shtar IOU $100. Umasu biyad hamoicha. Oy shekane miyode shu. Oy shekane miyode. You make a kinyin. Shu mischayev kach v'kach l'chaver demei chayfetz. I accept upon myself to pay a certain amount of money. Harei ze kinyin gomu. What's the big deal? If a person does not pay cash, You moishech, you do a mashicha, and you mekabel upon yourself to pay a certain amount of money, or you write a shtar, I owe you, there's no question this is a valid transaction.
You're not going with the money, you're going with the chepetz.
The first case is v'lo hoyelo l'loikeach damim. You don't transfer one penny. The cost of lo shtar choif. You write a document. Umosroi biyad hamoicher. He's kind of with the document. Umosroi biyad hamoicher. And you give over the paper that says I owe you $100 to the seller. Oy shekano miyado. You make a kinyan. Make a kinyan sudr. And you accept upon yourself, Shumachayev Kach Vakach Lechaveru Dimei Chaypitz. I accept upon myself, Hareze Kinyan Gomer. So we have to focus now on the first part. The first part is you are being coined by giving a shtar. You write on a piece of paper, I owe you $100, and you give it to that person, he accepts it. So legally, who now is the owner of this object? The legal owner of the object is the buyer. The buyer, by giving over to the seller a piece of paper which says, I commit myself to pay you $100, the transaction is complete. We learn this from an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri wants to go free. How does an Eved Ivri go free before 6 years? So he can go free by giving over, he has a Yerusha, someone gave him money. Here, how much money is left for your 6 years? $100? Here is $100, pay off the balance. Or if the Eved Ivri says to the master, I want to go free today, I'll write you a shtar on the balance. Even though redemption with a loan is not valid, but when you write in a shtar, that's not a loan. When you're writing a shtar, I owe you money, that's not a loan, that's a schaivus. There's a difference between a loan, borrowing money, and being meichel money, or something like that, and actually writing a shtar that says, I owe you money, that's equivalent to actual kesef. Im kein muchach mehabbe havonas ritva, she schaivus kesef b'shtar me'ilo kinesinas kesef. So he wants to extract from here a modern application, a modern concept, that writing a piece of paper that says, I owe you money, is equivalent to giving a person actual cash. Just like an Eved Ivri has the option of going free by writing a piece of paper that says, I owe you one, whatever the balance is, and he goes free by giving over this piece of paper. Likewise, if you want to acquire property and you write a piece of paper that says, I owe you money, then it's sufficient.
There is a difference between check and cash. Cash is not valid until it's accepted by the bank that issued the check. Because we have no funds for
it. Okay, a check is not valid. A check is not valid.
Yeah, there is a delay.
Okay, that's when you get it.
Cash is cash.
What happens in America? Okay, it's not so. What happens in America if you write a check and there's no money in the bank? Let's go through the steps. As far as I know, if you write a check and there's no money in the bank and you go to the bank,
you can be prosecuted.
Okay, you can't. It's a crime. You're saying it's a crime. But let's forget about the criminal activity. You take the check, go to the bank. You go to the bank, and the bank says, sorry, there's no money in the account. What does the bank do with the check? They stamp it all over the place, right? And they give it back to you. They give it back to you. You go back to the person who gave you the check and says, you ripped me off. The bank says there's no money in the account. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to put money in the account. Okay, just give me 2 days. Go back to, okay, I put money in there. So what do you do now? He doesn't write you a new check.
No,
it's the same check that's been stamped insufficient funds and all these.
Even
the same check is represented.
But let's say there is money. Let's say there is money in the account. It still takes 2 or 3 days.
So what?
Till the money is available to you. Cash is cash. So there's a little bit of.
Nowadays it
does. Does it take place?
Nowadays it doesn't. Not necessarily right away.
It depends on the bank. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. But he's. The check, when you write a check, even if there's no money in the bank, no money in the account, eventually, as long as the account is active, there's always a possibility that the account will be replenished. And that piece of paper.
What if it isn't?
Okay,
there's also that possibility too.
There's also that possibility.
Indebtedness.
There's always a pasuk, but the fact is the piece of paper is never canceled. That piece of paper that you have that says pay to the order of so and so, even if you have presented it to the bank and they've told you it's valid, they don't destroy it.
Yeah, but you never can use it.
You can use it. They give it back to you.
They don't put money in the bank.
All right, that's a question. It's a very good question. What's going to happen if he does not replenish the account? Let's go further. There is a different interpretation of the Gemara. Now, so therefore, he wants to point out that the main makor is coming from a Ritva. The Ritva says a slave can redeem himself with an IOU. He seems to want to suggest that a check is no worse than an IOU, even if there's no money in the bank, in the account. Basically, you've committed yourself to pay money. You don't have the money now. When a person writes an IOU, I owe you $100. I'm a pauper. I don't have one penny. Eventually, I'll get a job, I'll earn money, and I'll pay you. And this piece of paper that you have, you'll be able to use the claim against me. You're telling me you can shut down the account? And then the piece of paper you have is worthless? That's a good question. But let's go bosa chazaka. The assumption is you're not going to go through the trouble. It's a very big ordeal to go shut down accounts and open up new accounts. It's not so simple to do something like this. So in the meantime, the account has no money. Okay, there's no money in the account, but the account is still active. So let's assume it's no worse than writing an IOU, and we learn from the sugya of Eved Ivri that it works. Now, he's not telling us the other interpretations of the Gemara, but it seems that there are other rishonim that have an entirely different interpretation of the Gemara of what it means that an Eved is writing a shtar that I owe you money. It does not mean I owe you money. It must mean that the Eved, there is actual money available to go and to release himself to pay off the balance of his servitude to the master. Therefore, according to other interpretations, we no longer have the raya from the Gemara that an IOU is called a form of kesef. Halacha l'maaseh, he writes, v'hineh b'negeh l'odem ha'koneh b'check, kasra ha'poskim she'ha'check hu shtar choif. A check is indeed, most poskim say it's a shtar choif. She'b'chol ha'moitzi'oi zakai l'tvoi es ha'tashlam. Anyone that has the check can demand payment. Now that's not so simple either. It's not so simple because the check is not made out to you.
It's made out to cash.
Very good. But if the check is made out to a person, even if the person endorses the check, I think it's not so simple. If you endorse the check and you give it to someone else, and you give it to someone else, and they cash the check, it's not so simple. Right, you can just bring it to a bank and you get the money.
And
if you have an account in that bank,
right.
So but not in a different bank, not. And there's also a law, you have to report it.
A lot of banks don't accept
a third party check. And you also get into a lot of trouble if you have large amounts of money and you don't report it. If you have a check that's made out to someone else and it's been endorsed, and you do not report it. I don't know.
Money laundering.
I read about this. It's not reported. You can go to jail. It's a very serious crime. If you have a check that's not made out to you, but it's been endorsed,
right,
and you cash it,
yeah,
you have to report. I don't know what this means to report. You, whatever you do. If it's not reported, it could be you can get into a lot of trouble. No, they don't. The government does not bother themselves with this. But if they want to, they can. Let's go further. So what he says over here is a safe in mechiras. Okay, l'chein pasuk now the safe in mechiras chametz kilchasai. Hey, v'mi bal koyveitz tshuvas shenit shenesinas check ma'ilus midin kinyan simtusa. Very interesting. We buy chametz from a guy. Okay, erev Pesach. The erev Pesach, the guy is going to buy the chametz from the Jew with a check. You tell the guy, okay, we would make a down payment on the chametz. So I don't have any cash on me. Can I write out a check? So does the guy owe the chametz? So he says it works midin kinyan simtusa. Simtusa is what is commonly accepted in in society is also acknowledged in halacha as a valid kinyan. So since in society writing checks is acknowledged as being a valid a kinyan, it works.
Mazel
bracha. But for chametz is no mazel bracha for chametz. It's only for diamonds. Simtusa haynu dava shenayagim asaychin
umidnesbay.
Diamond industry is a bunch of cases. Umayachas shakach nayagim oilam umidnesbay. Amoychem usaymach malzer kumoy kesef hareiz a kinyan simtusa. Okay, so he says here, the bottom line here is a check is either manavshach, either it is a makor in the Gemara, from the Ritva, from Eved Ivri, or at least midrabbanan, it's no worse than kinyan simtusa, it's a transaction that's acknowledged among moichrim, and therefore it is a valid form of acquisition. If you go buy merchandise with a check, and then the merchandise is damaged or destroyed, you cannot go and say you're not allowed to cancel the check. That basically what it means is, once you give the person a check, you give the store a check, or you go to the store, you buy with a check, and then on the way home you're robbed. So you say, it's not fair. It's not fair. I have no pleasure from my purchase. So you know what? I'm going to cancel the check. You go to the bank, you cancel the check, and then the store is korech mikan, korech mikan. They don't have their merchandise, and they don't have their money. So you say, well, the reason why I canceled the check was because technically I never really acquired it. Because I never made a kinyan. I never made a kinyan because I didn't do, let's say I didn't do mashicha. Let's say I didn't do mashicha. They put it in the truck, whatever it was, and I only gave a check. So he says that's not so. Halacha l'maisa, when you write a check, you now legally, according to halacha, are the legal owner of this merchandise. And if something happens, you are fully responsible. Next, very quick, one more last Indian, very cute little halacha. Kriya l'bnoi b'shem oisos. Are you allowed to call your children after a letter in the aleph base? Okay, there a lot of this. There were issues. There were stories about people who legally tried to change name to a number, right? So different. There are different judges. Some allow it. Some don't allow it. You no longer want to have a name. That's the Gemara. The sugin Omar Rav Yosef Yud Keras Ka Chazina Hacha. Rav Yosef says, now how do you translate these words? A yud. Keres. So the Gemara is going to tell us what it means now. Rashi explains what this means. Shahainu hare at oisamid. He said a chiddush, and he says he's just coming to insult him. You make a big deal over nothing. You make a yud is the smallest letter on the aleph base, so it's symbolic. You're making something very insignificant. Keres. Keres is a large city. You're making what's a yud into a city. You're making what's a kippa, a drop of ink, into a big deal. Don't get carried away. That's what Rav Yosef meant to say to this person. Yud keres kochazin hocha. Hainu harei ato oisem miyud shiketana keres kiriya gedoyla large city kolaymar herachta b'mishnoscha chinam you amarech in your mishnah for no reason. Period. This is Rashi's interpretation. The Oruch Arishon disagrees with Rashi. He says, no, that was his name. His name was Yud. Omar Rav Yosef, Yud Keres, Har Kasa B'Shem Goin, who the Goin is, I do not know, one of the Goinim, Shehu Shem Chacham. We were read for that his name was Yud Keres. His name was Yud Keres. Mr. Yud Keres. That was his name. Kasa B'Shem Arayvich, Yud Keres, Hu Shem Odom, Hamuskar B'Mesech T'Tainish, O Yekoshem Oyra, Filo Abon V'loha V'loha Yechos. That's his name that we know about, and we know that he was a very stingy person. The question that you have asked me is so difficult. It's just like this person who was a difficult person. This person was known for his stinginess, even to his own children. The question you've asked me is a very nasty question. It's a nasty, difficult, whatever that means, that context. So what do we learn from this Derech Agav? There was a person whose name was Yud. That means that you can name a person after a letter in the Aleph base. V'inei b'shut haru l'shma nishal b'echad she'ivsa nafshay likro l'shem l'ben hanoyla lo k'shem oisachas m'chot beis oisios alfa beisa. K'goin Aleph oibes. He wanted to name his children after the letters of the Aleph base. My name is Aleph, my name is Beis Gimel. I once told you this thing, I always found this very fascinating. When I was a child, and my sister had a teacher whose name was Pesach. And he came in and he had this person ultimately had 10 children. And when my sister was in his class, he had his seventh child. So he told his class of all teenage girls, this is Shvihi Shel Pesach, but it's not Acharon Shel Pesach.
Eretz Yisrael is no Acharon.
How do you like that? What?
There's no Acharon in Eretz Yisrael.
This is okay, but this is America. So we have over here a person who wants to name his children. I guess he's planning on having 22 children. So he wants Seder. He's a Yekka. He wants to, you know, arrange them by the letters of the Aleph Beis. So he wants to call the first one Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Okay. So that's what he wanted to do. I'm a Shagas.
Who is Zisha?
Yeah,
it's
no
Rishon
is called Zisha.
I don't know. He says over here, it's Chadoshim Chadosh Osam Min HaTorah. Chadosh Osam Min HaTorah. B'shuvasoi Kosav HaBen Yishchai. He says it's mutter, gesunte, do whatever you want. Who's stopping you? Aim is there shum chshash. V'yase ke'avas nafshay ein meichem v'yad. Do whatever you want. You want to name your son after an olive paste? Lay in them after the olive paste. Gesunte hate. V'yoyis ha'meichem v'yad. I'm like... And in fact, I'll prove to you that you're allowed to do it. I'll find you a makar, this Gemara here in Masechta Kiddushin, Rav Yud Keras, according to the parish of the Aruch. According to the Aruch, his name was Yud. So you see that he was in the afterlife of the Alapes. Shemutzin b'mishnah b'avos ben or ben another example ben hey. Oimer l'fum he says l'fum his memory was l'fum saragra. V'chein mutzin b'gemara b'tainis b'chacham echad sheshmo yud. We see tainis haray shemutzin chacham sheniku b'shemam shal oisios. That's what over here he says that this person Yud Keras was the person himself tainis who was known whose name was Yud Keras. Yesh l'tzayin sheyesh akasu sheben hey lo nikra akein al shem ois hey. He wants to clarify, does not necessarily mean it was named after the letter Hey. Ella Shetana Zeho Yeger. The Nikra Ben Hey, Kedela Hastiwai Min Hamal Shinim. They wanted to hide him from people slanderers. What do we mean? Ramzu Bezesh Shehoya Ben Avram Ben Sarah. Shay Sifuluchem Hey Bishmoisam. It was where Ben Hey. Avraham instead of Avram, Sarah instead of Sarai. And therefore, that was an indication that in order that people should be aware that he was a ger, he was called. They called Ben Hey. He was a ger.
Why the duplication of Hey twice?
Because Avraham and Sarah. They were the first gerim. Avraham was Avraham, and Sarai turned into Sarah. Uvchein ben bag, hoya ben gerim. So what's the base? Bag also is base gimel is oisei hey gematria hey. So therefore we have new idea in Pirkei Avos. Then hey ben baga comes from the fact that they were gerim. Gerim the end of letters hey. Shagam bezerim so shoyi ben Avraham b'sar shoy sifu lachem hey bishmam. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Those were Tanoi and